Morning's Wellness Wednesday. We're joined by Anna Marie Kelly, who's an Inclusion Disability Officer and Mini Coach with the Letterkenny Rugby Club. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Greg.
Thanks so much for joining us. How are you keeping?
I'm good, yeah.
Very good indeed. To your left is Damien Mulkerns, a youth convener with the Letterkenny Rugby Club. How are you getting on, Damien?
Good, Greg.
Thanks so much for joining us. It's great to have you with us. Right, okay. We've talked about Ladies Rugby Club and Ladies Tag Rugby previously, Anne-Marie, and it's proved very, very popular. And I suppose this is a shout out to people that didn't get involved or haven't been involved heretofore.
Yeah, so last year we launched the Ladies Tag Rugby and we're giving it another go this year on the starts on the 23rd of April. And it's just about, I suppose, breaking some stigma and stereotypes around the tag. You know, your fitness level doesn't even come into it. You take it at your own pace. And it's open to all ages, you know, from 16 up.
And so, it's for people of all fitness. As you mentioned, fitness doesn't come into it. Ability levels, it's very inclusive.
It is very inclusive, yeah. Like, there's people on the pitch from 16 years of age right up until their 50s. Mm-hmm. The only difference is we're all females.
Yeah, that's good. And also, too, part of this conversation is to try and avoid people disqualifying themselves from this.
Exactly.
So no excuses. It's for all fitness levels, all abilities, on all ages. So there's no excuse, really.
No, there's not. You know, I suppose for people that doesn't even walk, you know, you come down, you take it at your own level and take it at your own pace. There's some of the people in it play rugby. Then the likes of myself, I've never played rugby. And it's just a whole different diversity of women. It's an hour where women come together. You don't have to worry about being on a pitch with men. And it's completely non-contact as well. So,
what do you say to people who go, like, I'm on my own and I don't really know anyone. And if I go down, you know, no one will say hello to me and I'll feel awkward and I won't know what to do.
Or reach out to me. Text me first. I did do it last year. There was a lady who was quite nervous about coming down. I said, look, meet me in the car park beforehand. And I brought her over and I introduced her to the women. And, like, we're all down there for the same reason. You know, none of us are going to go on and play for the Ireland ladies team. We're all down there because we want an hour. It's like the fitness that you can get from it. The first night, your legs can be quite sore.
But that means it's working.
It is working.
Yeah, pain is good.
And then the laughing as well is another thing.
That's a different set of
muscles.
That's
a different.
Isn't it? Okay. And when is it starting again? Or when's it open to everyone to come down and have a taster?
Yeah, so it's starting on the 23rd of April down at Letterkenny Rugby Club pitch. At 7 o'clock, 7 to 8.
And then it's weekly thereafter.
It's weekly thereafter,
okay,
yeah.
Brilliant stuff. Damien Mulkerns, it's not just obviously women, women's rugby, tag rugby, there's mixed, and there's lots of activities for children as well down at the rugby club.
There's a huge range of events down at the rugby club, Greg. As Anna Marie was saying, with regards to the women's tag rugby, you know, it's a real social aspect that the rugby is just a small part of it, and ultimately across all our ages from 4 up to 18s and up to senior rugby, it's all about having fun. You know, the rugby is just a side bar of it and a consequence, you know, but it's about the social inclusion of it. You know, we have kids down the rugby club, you know, who mightn't, you know, fit in everywhere, you know, with soccer or GAA.
But if you look at soccer and Gaelic football, right? I think, you know, people are more inclined to say I'm good at it or I'm not. You know, soloing, it's not easy. Running and soloing, it's not for everyone. You know, controlling the ball, the eye to foot coordination for soccer, that not everybody has that. And it's those are the types of sports, and it's fantastic, brilliant work doing. But you can feel, you can sort of see around you, right, I'm not really quite sure I fit in. Rugby's a little bit more inclusive in that because there's different roles, and I'm speaking more to younger people now, right? But there's different roles and different skill sets dependent on where you're playing on the pitch.
I might jump in there, Greg, because...
Get in there.
Yeah, I'll get in there.
Come on, scrum in the back here.
Get into the scrum, do you mean?
You said it was non-contact. Get off me.
So my son did try the different aspects of different sports, and he was always one of these children left on the bench. He does have neurodiversity, and thankfully a club came into the school to give him a try. And very quick, he started to like the rugby.
Yeah.
And if you've seen him now on the pitch, it's like he was born on the pitch. You know, rugby, it's so inclusive. You know, you don't have to be a fast runner.
He can find a position in that team that he excels in. So, you know, that's where... And we're not criticising GAA or soccer, but we all know, we've had kids that played at teams and everyone wants to win.
Exactly.
And I know they took scoring out of GAA for a period for certain age groups, but everyone's keeping a score. you know what I mean? Like, so... And this is not a criticism of them. This is talking about there's an alternative. If you don't fit in there, maybe you fit into the rugby scene.
Exactly. And it's like with the event we have this summer as well, to give it a try. It's exactly for that, for people to give it a try and see if they like it. And as well as what you're saying is, you know, on a rugby pitch, you have your forwards, you have your backs, you have your front rows. So you have multiple positions on the field to cater for all. As well as that, there's a huge social aspect to the rugby thing. Like during the summer there, or prior to breaking up for the summer, we had a team travel down from Northern Ireland to play our under-14s team. And after the game, I heard one of the opposition team members saying, guys, upstairs for a cup of tea and a sandwich, because that's the most important part of it, which it blew my mind. I was just thinking, this is fantastic because, you know, it's all about having fun. And our goal at the end of the day as mini conveners and mini coaches and the youth setup is to ultimately let the kids have fun. And we also have an ethos down there that if you turn up for your training and you take part of it, that you will be guaranteed game time, you know, it's all about,
and it's parents that feel that too.
I am one of them parents, Greg.
Whereby you know they're trying, you know how it hurts them inside,
and you see it every week on social media where a parent's saying that their child isn't getting ample time, like within the section that I coach in, you know, every child gets the same amount of time on the pitch, regardless of your different abilities. Every child gets on the pitch, and every child, for me and within my age group, like, each one is as valuable as the next.
And that doesn't mean competitive children can't thrive in that environment as or, you know, regardless of the ability or attitude. It doesn't mean that
we need the fast runners,
of course.
We need the strength, we need the people who is focused and getting in for the rucks, and
exactly,
we need them all.
But I want to come back. We'll give another mention to the ladies' tag rugby as well. Yep. But, you know, with the amount of people of all different ages that you're dealing with, obviously, it puts pressure on the resources, doesn't it? And the more popular you are, the more pressure on the pitches and the space. And, of course, then in terms of if you want to do stuff when we aren't blessed with long evenings, there's lighting issues and what have you. So there's a development draw, or a fund?
That's
on
right.
What's happening?
That's right, Greg. As you were saying, it's a development fundraising event that we're running for the club. So we've organised a nice prize, which is a 4-night stay in Chicago for November, which includes flights, 4-star accommodation, transfers, and the most important thing, 2 tickets to Ireland versus the All Blacks, which is the rematch of the game 2 years ago, which we won. And there's €500 spending money, you know, so it's a fantastic prize, and it helps us develop the club, expand and put the resources into the mini football, or into the mini setup and the youth setup.
And if
for
anyone wants to buy a ticket, how do they get their hands on one? Because, I mean, obviously, this is one of those things, right, whereby what you're doing is you're supporting the Letterkenny Rugby Club and what they're doing. But also you are in with a chance to win the prize. So it's
exactly.
A win-win, isn't it?
It's a win-win.
So your money's not lost if you don't win.
No, it's a lovely prize. I'd love it myself. Yeah. You can find the link on our Facebook page, Letterkenny Rugby Club. That'll take you directly to the be able to purchase the tickets. They're €10 for one, or 3 for €25. But it's a fantastic prize, like 4-star accommodation in Chicago for 4 nights and flights and transfers, and €500 spend of money
as well,
on the tickets.
You mentioned, that is pretty tasty. Right, so 23rd of April and through the summer, every Wednesday night at 7 p.m. till 8 p.m, women are invited to take part in tag rugby. And it's women only. It's a fun, by the sounds of things, a fun and safe environment for women to participate together. We don't want any excuses about your fitness or whether you've played rugby or anything like that there. You're not going to get rugby tackled by Anna Marie. That's not what this is about. This is a different form of rugby. It's fun. Mm-hmm. It's competitive, right? You can get
And even if you're a man sitting and listening to this, we do have a mixed tag rugby, which is starting back up in May. And we're in the in the early stages of developing children's tag rugby throughout the summer as well. So, but so any woman listening. Yeah.
We were talking about thatching earlier on, and now we're talking about rugby, and the common thread is tea and sandwiches. We just love tea and sandwiches with everything we do.
Exactly.
Whether you're thatching or rugbying.
Yeah, definitely.
More information on everything we've discussed there, Letterkenny Rugby Club. You can get more details on that great prize that's on offer as part of the club's development fundraising draw. And it's got a nice rugby focus to it as well, with the tickets that are up for grabs. Anne-Marie, in terms of your enthusiasm, if you could bottle it, the place would be packed. I'm sure it will be in any case. It's 16 and up, by the way, for the girls and women.
16 and up. Okay. And the reason being is just that, I suppose, no woman, a mother, wants to come down onto the pitch to have an 8 or 9 year old girl on the pitch.
No, no.
So it's 1 hour for
And it's just us paying them back for them not wanting to be on Facebook with us.
Yeah.
And also, too, I just want to, just because there's other parents with children with additional additional needs or neurodiversity or what have you, this has worked really well in your house. Your son has thrived as part of the mini rugby.
Even just the contact, and Greg, you know, especially weeks where he, it might be more challenging, when he goes to training and he comes off the pitch, he's a completely different person. And that's why my role was established last year through the exec was...
And he seems better too, I'm sure, as well.
Yeah, they are FU have seen that hidden disabilities is something that is positive within rugby.
Yeah, for sure.
And
if
anybody, you know, thinks, oh, would my child want to try rugby, reach out to us, you know.
And even
drop us a line. Yeah, fantastic.
It's a community organisation. Yeah.
Exactly.
It's run within the community for the community.
And we do
and
have a lot of...
And that's all the community. We're all different, aren't we?
Yeah, we do have a lot of youths and manies down in the club who have neurodiversity, ranging from autism to ADHD.
But the whole idea is that they all blend, isn't it? It's not like, you know, oh, there's, you know, it's the fact that they're all excelling as to their best of their ability.
The best way to explain it, myself and Damien, we look nothing alike. We haven't got the same body builds or nothing, but there's a place for both of us on that pitch. And that's what we're trying to say with women.
As long as we're on the one team, because...
Exactly. No, it's a great way of putting it, actually. Okay, and that'll be in the mixed tag environment, for an example, which starts in May. Ladies, girls, the 23rd of April, put it into your diary. That's the day you're going to get involved. Get more information from Letterkenny Rugby Club on their socials.
Yep.
Are we happy enough?
Yep.
Lovely.
Thank you,
Greg.
Keep on rocking. We'll be back. You see what I did there?
Yeah. Very good. You'll have to come down now.
Keep on trucking. If I did all the stuff I promised, I'd go down and do it.
Greg, the mix tag, think about it now.
I'd be built like an Esbrick house. You know, when talking to someone about turkey, I'd be doing that. But anyway... no, I thought that's quite clever. Keep on trucking. If you've used that before, keep on rocking. No.
Keep on rocking.
Yeah, that's because trucking.
That's a new hashtag for Letterkenny Rugby Club.
Rocking is what you do in.
Exactly.
I can come up with more if we got. Can we wait 5 minutes?
Yeah.
Please come in for 5 minutes. No, we'll have to just go with that one. All right, thanks. See you in a bit. Now, on the programme is Kieran Dorian, writer and director of Ardra, A Tale Woven Through Time. It's a new short film about the town of Ardra, produced by Lauren McHugh and Natalie Loch. In Awake Tourism, and the film speaks to the culture, history, nature and crafts of the town. Good morning to you, Kieran. Thanks so much for your time.
Hi, Greg. Thanks a million for having me on.
No, it's great to have you on. So where did this project begin, and how did we get to where we are?
Ah, very good. Yeah, I suppose I'd probably have to take a little zoom back and say that the film is part of a multi-phase project involving the reinvigoration and let's say reimagination of the Heritage Centre here in Ardra. When they first opened it, when they redeveloped it as a courthouse in 1993, they put in a lot of panels, and as you can guess, over the years those sort of panels had been kind of dated a bit with, you know, sunlight and weathered and a bit of wear and tear. So the first phase of this sort of redevelopment of the Heritage Centre, there's a group here, community group here in the town called Awake Tourism, and they got funding from the Heritage Council and support from Donegal County Council to refresh and update those panels. So the first stage of theirs was to, like the original role of the Heritage Centre was kind of concentrated largely on the weaving and textile industries in Ardra, And I think they really wanted to expand the concept and meaning of history and heritage in the area. So Awake Tourism, they gathered community members together to get a sense of what heritage means in the town. In our draw today, and like essentially how we express our culture down there and our folk life. And that sort of feedback was brilliant and sort of instrumental in kind of redeveloping that space. So the panels that are there at the moment, they tell sort of two stories. Like the first story would be, let's say, our tangible heritage in the community and the wider area of, you know, that would be the stuff you can touch, like the
Before we move on to other types, talk to me about Doon Fort. Even just scanning this, I wasn't aware of it. This is, and in fairness, the drone shots are wonderful. This is a remarkable island structure. What is it?
Yeah, well, Doon Fort is an amazing piece of architecture and heritage and stuff like that. At the moment, it isn't accessible, and there's a local kind of community group that have sort of been tasked with its redevelopment and trying to get that upkeep. It's actually very similar to the Green Inalia in Letterkenny. So obviously there's probably a lot of cross-pollination between the developers and stuff like that.
Very similar. It's similar in shape, and also the internal steps and stuff. You know, there really is. But what is its function in the middle of a lake?
Yeah, well, actually, if you look at the segment in the film, we kind of discuss some of the ideas, you know, and, you know, when you look at it first, you would sort of assume that maybe it's almost like a sort of has a military function, that it's there kind of if whatever local tribes were being attacked, you know, you'd put everybody in boats and sort of bring them back into the island. And that's what I thought it would be. But, you know, for a lot of people would also theorize that it could be just ceremonial. That, you know, at times some of the great seasonal celebrations throughout the year, you know, they would use it as a point of ceremonies. And there's a lot of mystery about it. And I don't want to talk too much because I'd be wading into an area of expertise.
No, I know, but okay, so I'll move us on.
There'll be a lot of historians out there that will be.
How do I not know about this stuff? Kilcloonie Dolmen. That's
Yeah, Kilcloonie Dolmen, like, that is kind of well advertised. Both of them are kind of well advertised.
This is my ignorance here, right? Maybe they're not well enough advertised for us here in this county, because I'm embarrassed to say I've been around Ardra, I know Ardra. I just wasn't aware of these structures. So, I mean, I'm the person you're reaching, as well as sort of an international market as well. Like, this is these are amazing things, Kieran.
100%, and that actually just goes back even just to the point it was saying that when Awake Tourism was redeveloping the Heritage Centre, originally there was that focus on the textiles, and that's very much important and very much important of the story. But there's a whole history, the history of human settlement in the Donegal region goes back 6,000 years to the late Neolithic. You know, so there's a long, prehistory, and we've got all these structures, like the dolmen, the standing stones. There's, Dr. Lachlan McGill he's like the centerpiece of, I think, of the film, and he has a fantastic book called In St. Conall's Footsteps. And that sort of traces, you know, St. Conall's journey through Donegal during, what, the 6th, 7th century. And all those sites are sort of mentioned. But there is a thing. I was lucky enough when I was growing up, we always had a sense of adventure. So we were always out exploring localities. So people in Ardra would know about these things, or most people would. But beyond Ardra and in the county, a lot of people don't know. There's these fantastic sites. Now, at the moment, Doon Fort isn't accessible. And I understand that's going to change, hopefully, in the near future. They have to, obviously, they want to sort of preserve it. But when we were young, we were able to get a boat off a local farmer who lived in the area and take a rowboat out and explore Doon Fort on our own. Now, you can understand in the present day and age, you know, with mass tourism, you don't want that sort of level of traffic coming to Doon Fort.
There's a balance to be struck in everything, though, isn't there? There really is a balance. And, of course, you mentioned you can't talk about Ardra without talking about textiles and weaving and wool and all of that type of stuff. And that features heavily in the programme as well, or in the documentary or the feature.
Yeah, that's it. And to be honest, it was almost sort of an organic thing that sort of happened. It was a very important part of the film. It was always going to be sort of first of 4 months, but it actually naturally, you know, the title of the film is like Ardra, a tale woven through time, and we start back in history with those like large geographical features, and then we weave through those prehistoric monuments, and we talk about the landscape and the early settlers, you know, communication and celebration of the landscape through these structures. And then the weaving actually just naturally comes about of this, because as Michael Molloy there says in the film, that the people just took these natural products from the land, you know, the byproducts of wool, and you created these, you know, beautiful garments and kind of intricate patterns that not only did they take the landscape, you know, or the byproducts from the landscape, they used the colours that they've seen every day, you know, the lovely purple heathers and the yellow hues and stuff like that, and they weave it into the garment. So naturally, you know, there's a conversation between the textiles with the very landscape that they're trying to represent. So not only are we trying to, you know, show our draw to, you know, the rest of the county, the rest of the country, and the rest of the world, but we're also trying to show to our local people, like, that, you know, the celebration of their own life and their own industry and their own sort of the indigenous talent.
Yeah, there's some great archive footage in there too of presidential visits and activities taking place in the town. The town itself, of course, is also historical.
Mm, absolutely. Well, that was great. Like, one of the things when I was making this film, and it does help to be from Ardra and stuff, but at every turn, like, let's say every problem that I would have, I'd bump into somebody who'd have a solution or something like that, or would know somebody who was sort of connected. So, like, Paul McHugh is one of the original founders of Awake Tourism and part of the board that helped develop the Heritage Centre in 1993, and I have a fantastic interview with him. But in the interview, he talks about when Mary Robinson came to the town, and it was a great day for the parish. And he speaks very well, but when you're kind of editing these things, you know, you always want a visual kind of aid to kind of complement what the person is saying. And I remember we had a screening to the members of Awake Tourism. I was very nervous that night because I'd been working away in it for about a year and nobody'd seen anything, and it was quite, I was almost afraid to show it. But I remember we showed that part and I said, yeah, it would be really good to get some footage of that night. And somebody goes, oh, I think my mum has actually videotaped that day. I'll see if she got it. And that was Maria Kennedy. She contributed her films, but I remember she gave me an old DV tape, transferred it over to video, and when I finally got it into the edit suite, it was just one of those really fortuitous moments, because exactly what Paul was saying, you had this beautiful visual representation that, you know, the Kilgar band lead Mary Robinson into the town. The sense of celebration. And then when you get to hear Mary Robinson's speech, and you're just sitting in the edit suite, and she's absolutely just articulating what I think is the themes and what I'm trying to get in the film, you know, the celebration of our local heritage, our weaving and textile, and how that very much is the Ardra story that we need to put out there. It was just one of those brilliant moments.
And of course, Stephen McCahill has to make an appearance. How could you have a documentary about Ardra without?
Stephen was a massive help with this.
Are people from Ardra as proud as anyone in this county? I think, you know, of any particular area, we're all proud of where we're from, but there is a particular pride that you hear from Ardra people, or am I just blowing smoke?
I don't know if it's a pride, and if it is a pride, it's a quiet pride. You know, there's pride in their work, and in their music, and you know, their day to day life. You know, there's a pride in their farming and their fishing and in their JAA. But it's a humble pride, if anything. But now, since this film has kind of gone up online, and it only went up last week. And we're about 35,000 views already, and that's without any sort of promotion. But the best part of it for me is that all the locals who've kind of either sent me out a Facebook message or wrote a comment on the Facebook And it, they were just saying that how much they liked the film, how much they sort of emotionally responded.
Yeah, but that film, the growth
and
of
I,
that...
I guess that that reveals a certain pride, because a few people have said to me, like, you know, I only live out the road, and I feel nostalgic, or I feel bittersweet, you know. So, yeah, there probably is a pride. And
I mean, it's had great
honest,
views so
Ardra
far.
Has a lot to be proud of, you know.
And it's had great views so far, but the growth of this video will be organic over... weeks and months. Do you know what I mean? It's 40 plus thousand views already. Don't get me wrong, incredibly impressive, but this will end up with hundreds of thousands of views over time, because it's there, it's locked in, and its benefit will not be easy to measure, but it will be very, very beneficial, and it's there forever. And as I say, it's definitely going to blow up, and it's going to be organic because it's beautiful. It's fine. You can plug stuff, but when people find stuff, that's when the true viral element comes to it. And I've no doubt that will happen with Ardra, A Tale Woven Through Time. If people want to have a look at it, Kieran, how do they, where do they find it?
Yeah, if you can, you can go on the ardra.ie website. It's hosted on that page, and it's also on the ardra.ie Facebook page.
Okay, and of course, the music, literature, that's all features in it as well. A caller says, don't forget the famous Welsh poet Dylan Thomas' weekly trip to Ardra when he spent the summer of 1935 in the port. Okay, there you go.
Oh, he did. And like one of the, like, there's a section in the film about the... you know, Ardra being the home of the festivals and that, and we have amazing festivals throughout the year. I think with the Johnny Doherty festivals coming up, and then with
Cup
the Wild
and
Way festival. But the walking festival is a big one there, and we do walk from Port to Mahara, and you'll see you'll pass by where Dylan Thomas had his cottage and wrote some famous letters from up there.
All right, brilliant stuff. Well done, Kieran, on that work. That's Kieran Dorian there, the writer and director of Ardra, A Tale Woven Through Time. Visually beautiful, but it has beautiful subject matter to work with. Anne-Marie is our son's rugby coach, under sevens, and she's so great with the kids. The kids all love her. She gives so much of her time to the coaching and treats all the kids like they were her own. She's outstanding. And I am not surprised by that, because she radiates joy, positivity and warmth. I'm saying that just from sitting opposite her. She just radiates that, and you can, it's infectious, isn't it? Okay, I'm going to take a break. We've got some business news on the way with Chris Ashmore, because the Business Matters podcast from Highland Radio drops today. Welcome back to the 9 till noon show here on Highland Radio. Thanks so much for your texts and comments coming in throughout the morning. A caller says, on the point of Musk being able to solve problems without even feeling it in his wallet, remember when he offered to cure world hunger if someone did the maths for how much it would be, which was something like 16 billion, but this was short after he became the richest man in the world, and he proceeded to not do that and is now destroying aid agencies that help feed the world. And this is the shutdown of USAID. And, you know, USAID was sending money for silly things that the American taxpayer wouldn't want it to be spent on. But it also was providing feeding programs in Sudan and what have you. And it's the same with NGOs. You know, this NGO has become a bad word now. And yeah, there are NGOs that you wonder, why the hell are we funding them? But that doesn't mean there aren't very worthwhile NGOs also. But unfortunately, the blunt instrument doesn't take into account these things. Greg, you were talking to the parish priest of Buncrana, and he was saying he was talking from Father Hegarty's Rock. I'm delighted to see a beautiful statue dedicated to this priest, ordained by Oliver Plunkett back in the early 1800s there now. Please have a discussion on the new statue and tell your listeners how he was beheaded and the lovely natural cross on the rock. Well, we spoke to Father Hegarty. We spoke to the parish priest, Father Bradley, as it was being unveiled on the day it was unveiled. And we've posted pictures of it on our social media and all that type of stuff. And we did talk about in our conversation, I believe also we've touched on this with our historian, Dr. Joe Kelly, in the past. We also touched on the fact that he was out in the sea and he was called back and promised this, that and the other. And he did call back. He did come back. He trusted those, the Redcoats, wasn't it, that said he would be safe. And ultimately he wasn't. So yes, there's an awful lot of history there. If we haven't already done it with Dr. Joe, we'll definitely do it down the line. A caller says ambulance services are too busy travelling to Galway for angiograms. This is why there are no ambulances available. Beds are also taken up in the hospital for a week of people waiting for angiograms in Galway. That's reloaded now. You can try again there. Hi, Greg. You referred earlier to an old postbox. Some of these are protected structures, just like some of our thatched cottages. And Oisin sent that in and has. I wonder, Oisin, I can't click into that URL at the moment. I wonder why phone boxes weren't included. I do understand that phone boxes became defunct, but I think we were too quick to modernise them, A, but B, also to remove them from the locations. They are beautiful things. I don't know. I personally find the old phone box absolutely beautiful. There was another thing too in reducing the phone boxes, that it was often an outlet for people who, say, for instance, were in abusive relationships and had their movements and phones monitored, and we took that away from them as well. Oisin, thank you for that. Hi, Greg. A lot of Falkara and Gortahawk people are very sick, they say, with norovirus, but I know two who have been tested and have cryptosporidium parasites. So I think this is why the water's being switched off to clean it out. Normally, we would get an advisory on drinking water. We haven't received that. That doesn't mean that your theory is not true, but I think that's something that needs further investigation. Could you please ask people jogging, cycling, etc. on the roads to wear high vis in all weather conditions? We've areas of low visibility like sun in your eyes, and I've noticed a lot of people not making themselves as visible as possible to ensure their safety. That's common sense. I think we might all agree with that. As many farmers are faced with no water this morning or no water supply close by due to the outages, I'd suggest we all start calling Irish Water on 1-800-278-278. That's the only hope to keep the pressure on them, as many voices will be harder to ignore. We simply need water tankers in West Donegal, I believe, until the faults are resolved. That comes in from Councillor Michael McClafferty. And there's definitely a priority given to problems where many people call. You know, you could get 100 people that get together and one person calls. That's one call. That's one person. Not a big problem. If your water's out, keep the pressure on. Get in touch with them. We were talking about the walk at Knocknarea. No, sorry, I beg your pardon. I've read that already. Interesting, Gregory, pensions. My entire pension fund was wiped out at the weekend. It was a difficult pill to swallow, but sit tight. What goes down must come up. So hopefully it's a long-term investment and you can get the short shocks. But trust in Trump or the world markets, whatever it might be, hopefully that recovers for you. What happens to people with additional needs who don't attend education? What services are in place for them, says the listener. Has anyone noticed a fine dust on their cars and in the air? Has anyone got health concerns? Sean Quinn was given out about the state of my vehicle in relation to that. That was sub-Sahara dust that was whipped up and blown up and deposited here. So that's happened quite a bit. Was it Dolores had paint washed her windows and then they were a mess? Right, Chris Ashmore joins me now. Hi, Chris.
Good morning, Greg.
We're going backwards. We'll be talking over Morse code the way things are going. How are you keeping?
Well, good, good, yeah. How's your Morse code?
What about the old
telex machine, Greg? You're
yes, deep pigeons or maybe two cups and a piece of string. We'll batter on nonetheless, Chris, because you do have some news for us today. And there's always a bit of a buzz around the Donegal County Council's film office, and there's an event ongoing. Talk to me about that.
Yes, now in the collaboration with...
I can't hear you, Chris. Sorry, I think your mouthpiece is covered there.
Now, Donegal County Council's film office, they have announced a new emerging talent fund for people who are in this sector. So whether you're a writer, producer, director... this is a chance to get involved and to get assistance with the production of maybe a small film. And as we know, this can generate quite a spin-off for the local economy when people involved in filmmaking, and the Donegal County Council Film Office is very active. So if you want to find out about this,
Chris, Chris, with the best will in the world, the phone line is just poor. And I know we're having a little bit of technical issue, so we might just fast forward, if you don't mind, Chris, and sorry to brush over your effort. We might just fast forward to what's on the show today, because the line just isn't fantastic, if that's all right with you, Chris.
Well, yep. So on Business Matters this week, my guest is Chairman Man Mark Gallagher, who some of you may know from his Highland Radio work. He's part of the sports team and the production team. But outside of Highland, along with his partner, Athea, they have a revenue-generating YouTube channel, which is called Something to Remember. And they have produced a series of very informative and wonderfully interesting videos from all over the world, Greg, from Planet Lighthouse to Guatemala, Sri Lanka. Now, significantly, this is a form of passive income, and this will be of interest to a lot of people, because Mark gives us a real insight in how you actually monetize a business through YouTube. And I think you have a clip there in which he explains more.
We set up the YouTube channel in 2021 with zero subscribers, just our friends and family. And even to get your friends and family can be a bit of a discussion to get them to subscribe, because the word subscribe to people sometimes mean you have to pay for something. So it always frustrates me with YouTube, where, you know, like Instagram and TikTok is like or follow. People are familiar with those words, but for some reason that word subscribe, it's kind of like, do I have to pay for this or what's the story? So you have to get 1,000 subscribers and 4,000 watch hours within 12 months, which was difficult. We started the channel in 2021. We didn't make a single penny from it until March 2023. So nearly 2 years of just creating content and just hoping that it's going somewhere. And as I say, then when you start making money, you're not making that much money at all, because you've just kind of reached the threshold. It's called the YouTube Partner Program, where once you reach the threshold, 1,000 subscribers, 4,000 watch hours, they contact you and invite you into their partnership program. And then you set up all your details, your account details, your tax information, all that kind of stuff. And it's actually Google AdSense that you're getting paid from, because it's all the ad revenue that's the reason that you're getting paid. So that's kind of how it works.
Yeah, because we hear an awful lot about people monetizing content online, and we've got our own Mark Gallagher and his other half, Asiya, to tell us all about that. Brilliant stuff, Chris. The podcast is available right now for people to listen to on demand. It's also broadcast on Sunday. And what time and how do people contact you, Chris?
It's broadcast on Sunday after the 6 o'clock news. And if you want to contact me, you can email me on businessmatters@highlandradio.com.
All right, Chris, thanks very much indeed, and for overcoming the technical difficulties with us. We'll be back with more after these.
The 9 till noon show with Letterkenny Credit Union. Simplify your debts with a debt consolidation loan from Letterkenny Credit Union. Call us on 074-910-2126 or apply online via our app or in office today.
Hello, I'm David Foley, medical herbalist. Are you suffering with stress, anxiety, insomnia? Then ask for Irish Botanica Peace and Calm, a traditional herbal remedy. Irish Botanica Peace and Calm has a naturally relaxing effect, ideal for stress, insomnia, jet lag and pre-exam anxiety. Call us a natural way, Letterkenny Shopping Centre, for more information.
If the medical experts get it wrong, everything changes. From misdiagnosis or delayed diagnosis to surgical injury or even poor treatment, all have physical, emotional, and financial consequences. We're here to help. So if your treatment didn't go according to plan, speak to our experienced medical negligence team at McElhenney & Associates. Find us online or call 074-917-5989. McElhenney & Associates Solicitors, Stranorler. In contentious business, a solicitor may not calculate fees or other charges as a percentage or proportion of any award or settlement.
Every decision, moment, and experience has shaped who I am today. I still live at home with the support of a wonderful team who provide home care with respect for who I am, empowering me to live my life my way.
Your life, your way. Visit dovida.ie. Here at Braden's House to Home Interiors, Moville and Bridgend, we stock recliner and fabric suites, dining tables and chairs, beds and mattresses, curtains and rugs, and don't forget our large flooring department stocking carpet, vinyl and laminate flooring. We can't be beaten on price or quality, and give a weekly delivery service to Donegal, Derry and Strabane, not to be matched. So call in today to Braden's House to Home Interiors, Moville or Bridgend, for all your home furnishing needs.
Highland Radio weather updates with McElhenney's. Discover trending new styles each week in fashion, footwear, accessories, homeware and more. Visit us to explore the latest arrivals in-store or shop online at McElhenney's.com today.
Okay, so Irish Water say a reservoir disruption may affect supply to Falkara Village, Derry, Connor and surrounds between 10pm until 9am. From the 7th of April until the 10th of April, it is due to return tomorrow. That's a big outage affecting an awful lot of people. There is some concern and some word on the ground that that outage might be more prolonged than that. So I don't want to alert anyone. I don't want to cause concern to anyone, but we are trying to get some clarification as to when that water supply actually will be returned. Is it in line with that? Or is it going to be longer? And also try and get some clarification as to why it was what the reservoir disruption actually means, because there is some concern out there. Right, Joseph Kelly is Executive Librarian with Donegal County Council, and he joins us on the show now. How are you getting on, Joseph?
Not too bad, Greg. Thanks for having me on.
It's good to have you with us. Right, now, and there's been a bit of a theme over the last day or two through sport or education or whatever it might be about inclusion and helping people where help is needed. And the Library Service has just launched a suite of resources aimed to help adults improve their English language skills. We're talking reading, writing, grammar, comprehension. Where did this initiative come from?
So I suppose it started off last year. There'll be a lot of cooperation between the Library Service and then with Donegal ETB as well. Adele McElhenney is the Regional Adult Literacy Coordinator, and they have a coalition which aimed at improving adult literacy across the county. And the Library would work really closely with Adele and the coalition on that. And there's something called Adult Literacy for Life. That's a strategy of the government. It's all about improving literacy across the board. And there was some funding available, and the library applied for funding in order to acquire books that would be aimed at adult literacy learners, and then also to create resources that those students or those learners could use as they're reading the books as well, and that tutors could use with them. So that's what we did.
And are tutors required? Is this laid out in a way whereby people perhaps who have literacy issues, or indeed perhaps maybe English isn't their first language and they wish to learn English, so can you sort of work with this material yourself, or does it require a tutor?
No, you could work independently. The resources are all available free online, like all the library services. Everything's free. It's there on our website. You don't have to have a tutor. You know, I could even be a case of, you know, if a parent wanted to use them with a child at home as well, maybe with older teenagers. That's a possibility too. It's up to yourself. And the thing is that there's 8 different resources, and each of those is linked to a novel, and the Library Service has 40 copies of each of those titles as well. 4 of the titles are aimed at people who maybe are adult literacy learners, because 1 in 5 people in Ireland, they've got literacy needs, you know, reading and writing as an issue. And then the other 4 titles are aimed at specifically at people who are learning English as an additional language. Yeah.
Yeah, and these are designed to maximise someone's potential. Do you know what I mean? You haven't pulled these out of the sky. This is an established programme that will best assist people to improve their skills.
Exactly, 100%. And they were created by people who have a lot of experience working with adults, their tutors themselves. They know exactly what's useful, what's needed. They've been laid out in a way that's easier for people who might have literacy issues to read as well. Even the 4 of the books, they're specifically relevant to people who might have dyslexia as well. There's a certain font and a certain colour of paper that you can use. So all those small things. And then the other thing as well, about reading and about books, you know, if you've had bad experiences of literacy in the past, you know, maybe you were at school, you were handed a book, you didn't like it, You didn't get to the end of it. You can see yourself as maybe not being a reader, as being a failure. But these books are shorter, so there's a great sense of achievement and finishing a book.
And not
yourself
everybody is. Not everybody is. And I wasn't fantastic at this at all. In fact, I was crap. To learn in that sort of traditional school environment, and may not want to return to that as an adult, and they can do this themselves. And as you say, the tools are there available for teachers or whatever the phrase might be. But also too, there's an opportunity here. These resources are there now for, you know, little book clubs or groups to pop up in areas and use these resources, and, you know, people can work together on their skills as part of a group, perhaps.
100%. And I think there's something really special about reading in a group environment as well, and I can bring the book alive, because you're having the discussion and, you know, this character should have done that, or this character, I thought he should have done this instead, or maybe we could change this ending, and lots of opportunities for people to be creative and maybe do a bit of creative writing. And that's really good for, you know, our mental health as well as developing our literacy skills. And as you say, we'd really encourage, Greg, book clubs. All you have to do is pop into your nearest library. There's 13 libraries all across Donegal. And even if you're in a particular area and there's not a library there, you can set up your own book club and you can take the books away with you and meet up in your local hall or centre, whatever it is you want to meet to read the books. So that doesn't have to take place in the library.
All right, OK. And the library is an open, welcoming space too. Call in, have a chat to the staff and tease it out with them there as well. They're there to help.
100%. Library staff on the front line, they're there to help. You know, there's no fines anymore. That's someone, you know, some people can, there could be, well, people who are.
I know, yeah, know, I know, adds, I know. It just, it reminds, it's just my mind works really quickly. And I just remember stories of people having a 23-year-old late fine and stuff. But no, yeah, fines are gone. That's great.
That's complete amnesty. So look, you know, and any, if a book does go missing, you know, it's missing in action, presumed read. That's the way we look at it.
Yeah, okay. Thanks very much indeed for that. Take care of yourself. Joseph Kelly there, Executive Librarian with Donegal County Council. So where are we on Friday? We are in Irish Pressings in Gweedore. We're taking the show on the road. If you're listening at home, it'll be a very familiar show for you, but it also gives us an opportunity to hear about the interesting work that Irish Pressings is undertaking in the west of this county and their markets, and maybe their views actually on tariffs as well. Might be quite interesting if they export a lot, which I'm sure they do. And we'll have our Friday panel and all of that, but we're out in Gweedore. I think we're inside a building, so we can't really invite people to come and see us as much as we'd love to. But it'll be a great audio experience for you all. So that's on Friday, us out and about in Gweedore. Looking forward to that. And hopefully the weather holds out. We were speaking to a lady who was frustrated at having to use phone services to get basic information. Press one for this. Well, now, obviously, and it is to respect and enhance the use of our language. But now often when you ring an arm of the state, there could be 40 seconds in Irish and then another 40 in English. And then it's 1, 2, 3, 4. And your option is there. And then you have listened back. Then you throw the phone down or throw it into the sea. But caller says, I think that it will get to the point where nobody will speak to anyone on the phone. You have the younger generation who just Google everything. With working hours, people are also looking to book appointments online for convenience. Everything will be automated. Well, very soon, very, very soon, you will start seeing AI answering phones. And I don't think it's going to be in the traditional push one, push two, push three, because they'll be able to answer numerous calls at the same time. The AI will answer the phone conversationally. So it'll be, hello, this is Greg Hughes, your AI companion. What can we do for you today? And you would say, I would like to speak about my car insurance. And they'll go, OK, do you wish to change your policy or do you want to renew your policy? And then you'll say, well, it's not that. I need a new tax disc. And they'll go, oh, OK. And that's the way it will be. God, that sounds ridiculous. But that's the way it will be. And it'll be like that in the not too distant future. That's where we leave it. We're back tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock. Have a wonderful day.